pray. Amen. Now, I wonder if any of you can tell me what is significant about this date, the 12th of June 2019. What's going to happen on the 12th of June 2019? Does anyone know? Anne's best guess is something to do with Brexit. Do people not know? My birthday? No. Carla, do you not know your pastor's birthday? This is disappointing. My birthday, by the way, make a note of this. 10th of March. I'm turning 30. It's significant, so I expect many presents. But it's not my birthday. In fact, I don't think it's anyone's birthday in the room. Do you give up? Do you give up? Okay. Well, the answer to the question, what's going to happen on the 12th of June 2019? The answer is, I don't know. I realise that this is not the most exciting quiz question that I've given you in recent months. We've had many quiz questions. This isn't the best one. But the reality is, I don't know what's going to happen on the 12th of June 2019. And in fact, as we look ahead to the year to come, the reality is, 353 days until Christmas, and they are days of uncertainty. We have no idea what's going to happen on most of those days. And even the days where we think we know what's going to happen, it may not happen quite as we think it's going to happen. There's much uncertainty about the 353 days until Christmas. And the question is, how do you feel about that as you look ahead this year, and there's so many days, and you don't know what's going to happen? How should we feel about that? Well, this morning, I can't reassure you by predicting the future of what's going to happen on the 12th of June, but I can reassure you by reminding you of something very important. So although there's much that we can't say about this year, one thing that we definitely can say is this: 2019, new year, same Jesus. That's the confidence we have this year. It's a new year, but the same Jesus. And as we think this morning about who this Jesus is, I hope we'll be encouraged to put our trust in him for the year to come and to find confidence in knowing him. Who is this Jesus? And we're going to answer that question by turning to the last book of the Bible. We had the first book earlier on, now we're at the last book, the Revelation to John. If you've got one of the church Bibles, you'll find it on page 1235. If you've got a brown large print Bible, it's on page 1849, Revelation chapter 1. I read that there was a conference yesterday in America, where someone called David Platt preached a sermon from Revelation that had 50 points. It's a 50-point sermon. I'm going to be a bit more selective this morning. But we'll look at this first chapter of Revelation. And in fact, this is the beginning of a journey that we're going to be going on in the next few weeks, just through the first three chapters of this book. Because we'll see in chapters 2 and 3 in the coming weeks that Jesus speaks words to different churches, seven different churches that were around in the first century, speaks words to their situations to challenge them, to encourage them, to reassure them, to point them to him. And as he speaks those words to those churches, so he speaks through those words still to us. And we'll be reflecting on what he says in the coming weeks and how this year he might be encouraging us, challenging us, reassuring us, pointing us to him. But before we get those words that he speaks, we get something about who it is who is speaking. Who is this Jesus who is speaking? And in Revelation chapter 1, after a bit of introductory material that we won't look at today, although there's much in it, we get a vision of Jesus, and then we get to hear his voice speaking. And as we think about this vision that John sees and this voice that John hears, I hope we can be encouraged this morning to see that whatever pressures we face this year, whatever pressures and challenges we face in 2019, the ones that we know about, the ones that are unknown, whatever we face, we can have confidence in Jesus as the one who keeps his people safe. Jesus, the one who keeps his people safe. An important message for all of us here this morning. I'll read the chapter and then we'll reflect on just a few things together. There's so much in this chapter, but I'll read the whole chapter. And as I read, listen out or look out for the descriptions we get of Jesus in this passage. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to the servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea." And then this is where we get the vision and then the words that Jesus speaks. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this, As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So I said earlier that we can have confidence in Jesus as the one who keeps his people safe. But it may be that there was a question that came into your mind as I was reading that. A question that will come up in a moment on the screen behind me. And when it comes up, you can all say the question together. The question is this. Safe? In a moment, a question will come up on the screen behind me and you can all say the question together. The question is...
Safe.
That's better. Safe? Because the picture of Jesus, the vision of Jesus here, didn't seem very safe. If you look down at verse 13, we're not going to go into all of the details of what all of these things mean, or the language that John uses. If you're a Bible reader, you can follow those things up yourself later. And you want to start by reading the book of Daniel, chapter 7 to 10, and you'll find a lot of help there. I'm not going to go into all of the details, but we could just think about it like this. Imagine that one day you're walking home late at night. And as you're walking home late at night, you see someone coming towards you in the other direction. And obviously, because it's late at night, you want to try and have a look at who this person is without making eye contact to give away that you're looking. And so you look at this person who's coming towards you and you notice, like in verse 13, that it's a man. Fair enough. You notice that he's clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. So he's dressed up in some kind of special outfit. And then you see as this person comes towards you that, as in verse 14, the hairs of his head are white, really white. Really white, like pure wool, like the whitest snow. So you think, okay, this is probably someone very old and very wise. And then as they keep coming towards you and you keep looking at them, you notice that their eyes are like a flame of fire. That's probably the point at which I'd start feeling a bit nervous, wouldn't you? If you're walking towards someone on a dark night and you notice that their eyes are like a flame of fire. And then you notice not only that, you notice the burnished bronze feet. And then when this person says good evening to you, his voice is like the roar of many waters. Well, this is a bit more nervous now, isn't it? And then you notice that out of his mouth is a sharp two-edged sword. And then you see that his face is like a sun shining in full strength. Imagine you walk down the street late at night and you see someone like that coming towards you. No wonder John falls down at his feet as though dead. It's a pretty overwhelming picture, isn't it? A pretty overwhelming image. These symbols that are used, this language, of these pictures of absolute divine purity and authority and power and dazzling majesty. As John gets this overpowering glimpse of his greatness and falls down at his feet as though dead. And what would you do? What would you do in the same situation, in the presence of this absolute divine purity, absolute divine authority and power and might? Would you feel safe? Us safe? Us average imperfect humans in the presence of absolute divine perfection and power? Would you feel safe? Well, of course not. Unless, of course, that voice of power and authority speaks to you and says what he says to John. Fear not. That's the moment at which this scene changes somewhat, isn't it? When this voice of power and authority and majesty puts his hand on John's shoulder and says, fear not. fear not. That this voice, this overwhelming voice of power and authority, is the voice of a friend, a voice speaking to comfort and reassure. This voice of power, authority that speaks to John as a friend and through these words speaks to us if we know him too, to say, fear not, to comfort and to reassure us. As we say this year, New Year, same Jesus, who is this Jesus? The Jesus we know is not just the Jesus of the Christmas cards, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It is this dazzling Jesus with power and might and authority. And he's the one who says to us, fear not. He's the one who's with us, the one who's for us, the one who is among us, his people. The one who is on our side, the one in whose name we pray, whatever we face in the year to come. The one who says to us, fear not, whatever we go through. The one who can keep his people safe. If it's this Jesus, this majestic, dazzlingly glorious Jesus, if it's him who's on our side, well, that should change how we feel about the uncertainty of the year ahead, shouldn't it? The things we're going to face, known or unknown. And it should encourage us not just as individuals, but as a church as well. As we think, well, where's Lichard Mission going to be on the 12th of June 2019? Part of the vision that we didn't look at, we saw in verse 12 that there are 7 golden lampstands. And then in verse 16, if you look at that verse, you see in his right hand, this Jesus is holding 7 stars. And those lampstands, the 7 lampstands and the 7 stars, are explained for us at the end of the chapter. You may have noticed the explanation where Jesus says in verse 20, as for the mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. Don't worry about the word angels, just representing 7 churches. And the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. These stars and lampstands that represent the 7 churches that this was first written to, and also represent all churches who know Jesus throughout history. And so then the question, where will Lichard Mission be on the 12th of June 2019? There are lots of details I can't give you. There are lots of things I can't predict. But where will Lichard Mission be? Held tightly in his hand, kept close by his feet. Safe? Yes, if we know him, if we trust him, if we love him, if we're known and loved by him. This is the one who says to us, fear not. And we shine our light in the world as a church and as individuals. We let our light shine before men. And we may feel like very feeble lights, very dim, shaky, uncertain, under pressure, under threat. But we're safe. Safe in the hands of glorious might. Safe at the feet of dazzling authority. This Jesus who keeps his people safe. So, friends, if we know him, we can have confidence for the year to come, whatever pressures we face. But maybe that there's still a question that's in your mind, a question that will come up in a moment on the screen behind me. And when it comes up, you can all say it together, can't you? And the question is this. You had a good practice earlier. Yes, safe. Because it's not just that this vision of Jesus doesn't seem safe at first. That the situation that John is in doesn't seem safe. We dive straight into the vision in the middle of the chapter. But if we jump back a few verses in verse 9, we get a few clues about what kind of situation John is in and the churches that this was first written to. He says these words in verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance. Tribulation, patient endurance, not celebration, party, happy, happy, happy. Clearly there are some challenges, there are some issues, there are some pressures. And John goes on to say that he's on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God. And Patmos was used as a place where they exiled political prisoners. And so when John says he's there because of the word of God, it's probably not because he went there just to tell people about Jesus. He's a prisoner. And we find out later in the next few chapters, there are people being martyred, being killed because they love the Saviour's name, as there are in the world today. Pressures, challenges, dangers. How can we say that Jesus keeps his people safe when they're facing these kind of things? How can we say Jesus keeps his people safe when we know that this year all of us will experience bad things? And some of those things will be absolutely outside of our control. Jesus keeps his people safe. Well, if we keep listening to what Jesus says after he says, fear not. He speaks these words to John and to us. He tells us that he has dealt decisively with the biggest fear of all, death. Here's the wonderful words he says, I died, and behold, I'm alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. He's dealt decisively with the biggest fear of all, death. He's dealt with it. We're so used to death in this world, we see it as just part of the reality of life in this world, which it is for us now. But it hasn't always been. At the beginning of creation, when God first created the world, he didn't create it as a place of death. It was a place of life. The first humans were created to enjoy life with the God who made them. The God who is life. The living God who overflows with life. Now, death has come into this world as an intruder, as an enemy. It's come in because of those first humans who made the decision to reject the living God and to go their own way and to not listen to what he had said to them at the beginning. Something that we all do in different ways, that we like to wear the crown of authority on our own heads rather than seeing it on God, rather than trusting him to be in charge as the good creator. We want to be in charge of our lives and we want to do things our own way. It's a pattern that all of us follow one way or another. The Bible calls it sin, and the penalty for sin is death. And not just death as in physical death, that's come into the world because of sin. What we deserve is an unending spiritual death. What we deserve is an eternity away from the God who is life, the God who is good, a dark eternity away from him. That's the penalty we deserve for our sin. But here, Jesus says, he's done something for us. He too died, but he died a unique death. He died as the living one, as the one who is God. God come down from heaven to this earth, come down among us, living the perfect life that we have completely failed to live, then dying a death in our place, taking the penalty for sin on himself in his death on the cross. Penalty paid in full for all of his people forever, dealt with decisively. And we know that because he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead, alive now forevermore, alive forever. Death has no claim on him. And because he has the key of death and Hades, death has no claim on his people either. So if we receive him as our rescuer, as our saviour, as our Lord, then we will still die physically. But death doesn't have the last word for Jesus' people. Even in death, we enjoy new life with him and look forward to that day when he'll come back and we'll have new bodies to raised forever. Life forevermore. Not death, but life. And it's in that sense that Jesus absolutely keeps his people safe. Because the destination is certain. Where we're headed is certain. And he will get us there. That destination of life. Glorious, unending life with new bodies, with him in a perfect world. That destination is certain. He will get us there. If you were here last week, you'd have heard Chris Jenkins use an illustration of being on a plane. Like the Christian life is like being on a plane and you experience some turbulence. And when you're experiencing the turbulence, you may think that everything's going horribly wrong. But still the plane reaches its destination safely. And so for us as Christians, if we know Jesus in this life, we go through turbulence. Some of it is very turbulent turbulence. Some of it is very deeply unpleasant turbulence. But we know if we're in that plane of Jesus that he will get us to our destination safely. Death has no claim on us. We are secure in his purposes forever. So he does keep us safe. He doesn't stop us from being affected from the bad things of this world, but he does keep us safe forever. As he says elsewhere in the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. New year, same Jesus. It's Jesus who keeps his people safe even in death. So as we look ahead to the year to come, so much that's uncertain and unknown, we can have confidence in him who keeps his people safe. Well, that's the first point. I've got 49 more to go. Just close by speaking to those of you who don't know this Jesus. Those of you who don't know him for yourself, you don't know him as your saviour and your Lord and your friend. This year would be the year to get to know him, to have that as your New Year's resolution, a few days late, but there's still a lot of the year to come, to have that as your resolution to get to know him, to ask all of your questions about who this Jesus is, to find out everything you need to find out about him so you can trust him as the one who keeps his people safe, so you can have confidence in him. Ask your questions. Take a Bible and read it. Speak to me or someone else you've seen at the front. Ask us how you can find out answers to your questions. Keep coming on Sundays and hearing about this Jesus. Because this Jesus is not someone you can ignore. He's not someone that is safe to ignore. Everything that we've seen in this passage today, not someone that we can ignore. This one that has this dazzling authority and power and might, this overwhelming image. This one who holds the keys of death and Hades. It's not someone we can ignore. As I was reading the passage earlier, we did get a warning. If we do ignore this Jesus, if we think we're fine just by ourselves, just get on with 2019 without him, a warning that we will one day still meet him. If you look up at verse 7, move it forward, Quinn. Verse 7, which says that one day he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. Every one of us in this room will see him. Even those who pierced him, who opposed him, who rejected him. And there'll be those who wail, who mourn, who weep, as they realize they've rejected the one who holds the keys of death and Hades, they rejected the one who has the authority to bring eternal good. It'd be tragic to ignore him now and to meet him then in that way, having rejected him. Get to know him this year, this January 2019. Get to know him. Come to him, find real life in him, find safety in his hands, in his purposes, among his people. Come and admit to him that you've turned away from what you were created to be. You've turned away from the God who made you. Come to him thanking him that he died to take the penalty for sin and he's alive forever. Come and ask him to make you new as one of his people, to help you to live with him as Lord and Saviour. Come to him and find life and security with him, so you can share the confidence that many of us in this room have this morning. That whatever happens on June the 12th, 2019, Jesus will be the same. He will keep his people safe. New year, same dazzlingly glorious Jesus. Do you know him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this revelation of Jesus Christ. We praise you for what you show us of him and what you have shown us this morning. We praise you for that voice that we've heard speaking today. If we know him, we hear him saying, "Fear not." We hear him speaking of how he is alive forever and has the keys of death and Hades. And Father, we ask that with the uncertainty of the year ahead, that we would keep listening to that voice that comforts us and reassures us and gives us confidence amid all of the challenges of life. And you'd keep us looking forward to that certain hope we have of being forever with him. And I pray for any here this morning who don't yet have that confidence, I pray that you would lead them to find out who Jesus is, and you'd lead them to put their confidence in him this year. We pray this for his unending glory. Amen.